Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have Jessica Leska. She is from She Runs North. And in fact, we talked to Jessica about 2 months ago about her upcoming winter run. It was 200 kilometers and it sounded crazy. And she has just completed it. Congratulations, girl.
Thank you.
So why don't we just recap? What were you doing when you had set out to do this run?
You mean like the original route or this route itself?
Let's do the original route and then kind of talk about the journey of how you ended up at the different route.
Sure. So last April, I guess it's April, I had planned to run all the way to Fort Smith from the start of the winter road because like with COVID and all the things going on, I couldn't really attend this winter race that I had been planning to attend. So I thought I'd make up my own. And then with COVID, the winter road to Fort Smith wasn't built this year. So then I shortened my route just to Fort Chip, which is about 150, 180 kilometers. But then they also had issues with the road, with the mild weather and stuff. So I was again forced to recalibrate and go with plan. I guess it would be C, which was eventually just a bunch of skidoo trails around the city. And that ended up being about like 200 kilometers.
Wow. And it's crazy too, because, you know, you were planning on going to Fort Chip up until what, 6 days beforehand?
Yes.
Talk about being adaptable.
I know, right? Well, I had a bunch of ideas in my head anyways, because I didn't want to leave it to chance, especially after planning for so long and putting all that training into it. So I had other plans in my pocket in case something were to come up. And luckily I did, because it did.
So I guess first question, as you first planned the Fort Smith, then the Fort Chip, and then and still going ahead with the 200 kilometers. What was your goal out of it all?
My goal was to challenge myself and also to show the beauty of the region. I don't think people really realize how much forest we have here, or how much backcountry. And I really would like to show people that.
Yeah, it is definitely beautiful. I feel like I discover a new thing all the time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, who knew that Fort McMurray had so much backyard to it?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
So your run was over 4 days, right? Okay, so it's Thursday and you started last Friday. So you're almost a week from start date. What was it like setting off on that first kilometer?
It was definitely an adrenaline rush. I think my mom was trying to call me to wish me off, and I just had like a lizard brain because I was like, oh my God, it's finally here.
So did you answer the phone or...
No, I called her later.
The other thing is, I know with winter, and you said like the mild temperatures, last week was unseasonably warm, correct?
Yeah, it definitely was a different challenge having trained for all the cold weather. And then all of a sudden it's just like, I think that like it was like -3 most days maybe. And then the coldest was -6. Actually, no, it was like 5 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, so that really threw a wrench into things because that softens the snow so much and it makes it really, really hard going.
Wow, okay. What did you do or how did you overcome kind of that?
Well, I ended up just having to really just hike it out for the first couple of days, and then I was getting really fatigued from having to like push through it. So I just decided, you know what, we'll make the two middle days, day 2 and 3, shorter, and then just add the rest of the kilometers on to the final day, which was supposed to be minus six. And that turned out to be a really good game plan because the final day I just cruised.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I think I saved myself too because like day three, I basically staggered into camp. It was so, so soft. Such a long day.
What would you say on average, how many hours did you hike or run a day?
Well, when it was like, just to give you an example, I think the second last day was only like 38K and it took me about 10 hours. And then the next day was 60K and it took me 10 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like that's just how much slower going it is when the snow is so soft.
Is this something you would consider doing again? Or are you like, all right, bucket list done, I'm happy?
No, I'm totally doing it again. Not the same route maybe, but I'd like to explore other areas and maybe up the ante with... I was really spoiled this time with outhouses and fire pits.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to try more remote, just expand that way and see what else I can discover.
Wow. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But when we come back, we're going to be hearing more from Jessica Leska and her giant journey with She Runs North.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, we are talking to Jessica Leska. She Runs North is her Facebook page. And do you have an Instagram as well?
Yeah, it's also She Runs North.
Perfect. And she does run north. She did just finish 200 kilometers of running up here in the northern region. Tell me about camping outside. You didn't get to see the inside of anything for 4 days, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was interesting. I'm used to stage races where you have your tent set up for you and you have food cooked for you. So definitely getting back to camp at night and having to pitch my tent and boil some water out of snow for food was a new challenge. But yeah, I still managed to do it.
Did you find, that any of your parts succumbed to the elements? Did you still have a face left when you were done? Did you have any blisters on your feet?
I had like one teeny blister on my baby toe, which is miraculous given the conditions. And my face was super, like I didn't put enough zinc on for like wind, and the wind on day one and day four just really cuts your face open.
Ouch.
After hours, so like my face is super dry.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're coming into the milder, warmer season. Hopefully this dry winter is going to leave now that your run is done.
Yeah.
So tell me about, you said you had to melt water. I mean, snow takes up a lot more room than water does. How long did that process take?
Oh my God, it took forever. And for like, it was comedic because the guys had a jet boil and I had my MSR winter stove, and it literally took me almost four times as long as them.
Wow.
Get my water melted and my food cooked. And everyone was always like, oh, you should get a jet boil. You should get a jet boil. And I was just like, well, I have to go with the MSR because it's rated for really, really cold temperatures. It won't fail. And then here we are with like minus two or like 6 degrees.
Oh, so sad.
And plus it's so loud. So we're sitting there for like an hour and a half with this jet going.
What did you eat? So I'm trying to imagine. For some reason, I just keep picturing lentils, but like you've never said you ate lentils. What did you eat while you were out on the trail?
I had dehydrated meals for breakfast and dinner. And then during the day, I had like chocolate covered almonds, bacon, sausages and nuts, endurance cookie dough, which is like this mix of butter, oats, chocolate chocolate chips and stuff like that. Yeah.
That doesn't sound too bad.
I mean, after day one, it was like everything tasted like broccoli.
Oh, no. It's not nearly as delicious as endurance cookie dough sounds.
No, I think I'll pack more variety next time, for sure.
Ah. And then we've been saying self-supported a lot. Could you tell us a little bit about what self-supported is?
That just means that I had to carry everything myself. So I had a sled, and I had all my food and water and supplies in the sled, and I wasn't allowed to accept help from external sources. Now, that changed after day two. I had to get my husband to meet the guys and bring me some salt. So, unfortunately, I failed the self-supported bit, but maybe next year.
Bring you some salt. What does that mean?
Well, so, like, when you run or hike or anything and you sweat a lot, you lose electrolytes, which includes salt. And I didn't compensate for that because I had been training for cold, which is if you sweat, you die. So you try to sweat like as minimally as possible.
Oh.
But with mild weather, I was sweating a lot more, and I wasn't substituting that. You know what I mean? So I started cramping, and that's the first sign of not getting enough salt. And it was really affecting my gait. So I was like, and I didn't even realize, like, I was like, why am I cramping so bad? And then until I sat down, I was like, I need a break. And then I ended up eating my my cashews, which were salted. And then an hour later, it was, like, gone. So I was like, oh, no way. I didn't even think about this. And I don't have enough salt to get me through the rest of the trip. So that's when I called hubby and was like, love you.
And did he have to run into somewhere, or did he bring like a snow machine or something, or like how did he get to you?
He drove and dropped it at the Maqua Bayous area. Okay. And the guys just went and grabbed it for me.
Nice. We're going to hear about who these guys are in just a few. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters. My guest this morning, Jessica Leska of She Runs North.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning in, we are chatting with Jessica Leska, total champion in our region who has been showcasing the region. She just finished a 200-kilometer run over 4 days last weekend. And if you want to look at her journey and see what she was up to, you can definitely check out her Facebook and Instagram, which is She Runs North. But Jessica, we've been talking about self-supported and how you did this all by yourself with the sleigh. You carried it and everything. But you did have some company on the trail, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had Thomas Hopkins Photography and Willie Whiston from Shaw Spotlight follow me just for the purposes of making a documentary.
And was that kind of the plan all along, or were you wishing you were alone, or were you really glad for the help? Or not help, I guess, for the company.
That was the plan all along, and I was happy for the company because after being out long days, it was nice to just sit around the fire and chat.
For sure. So they didn't run, did they?
No, they had a skidoo. So typically, like, they would wake up, get some footage of me getting ready, and then I would leave, and they would go back to bed. And then sometime later in the day, when the sun is perfect, they would meet me and get some shots in, and then they would go ahead to the next camp, and I would just meet them there at the end of the day.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I have to imagine that, you know, you said you had run 10 hours, at least two of the days. How did you mentally push through? Because I can't even fathom pushing through an hour of that.
It's definitely like something that you learn through training, and some kilometers are harder than others. Typically, I would listen to podcasts to get me through as well. Or I would just, like the day where I was cramping really bad, I just thought about, like, I have a close friend named Kelly, and we went to New Zealand together to run a big long race, and she couldn't end up running it. She ended up walking the whole thing. So I was just sitting there thinking, you know what? If Kelly can walk the whole thing, I can walk the whole thing. So just like getting those inspirations to kind of get you through the moment.
And did you, okay, so I guess we need to know what your inspirational podcasts were. Were you listening to like true crime or like motivational speakers, or what was in your ears?
It was a mixed bag, but like from my favorite now is Sawbones. It's this medical podcast, which I'm not really into medical stuff, but the couple is really endearing. And then I listened to this one about pain not meaning injury, and that one really helped me because it talked about how mental it all can be. And like, if you think you're in pain and if you think you have an injury, just focus on something else for a minute. And if the sensation isn't as strong, then you know it's just mental.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful because like I did what they suggested. They're like, just think of your thumb, and I just look at my thumb, and it's like, okay, it's not as bad as I think.
Wow. That's a life hack for sure.
Totally. Like, it's so mental. So much of what we experience is mental, and it can be a really good barrier, or a really bad barrier, I guess, if you let it overcome your thoughts. But just pushing past, focusing on something else, it really is important.
Tell me about the finish line. What was it like to be approaching and seeing some friendly faces again cheering you on?
Oh, it was so emotional. I think that I was so worried about conditions the whole weekend that I didn't let myself believe that it was real until like I hit Draper and there were some people standing there on the hill cheering me in. And then there was people along Draper Road honking at me. And then there was community members down at the dog park. And that was just like, it's hard to describe. And after like the anticipation and so long training and so many ups and downs, it was just like, I just burst into tears.
I've heard of people bursting into tears after finishing like a half marathon, so I can't imagine not bursting into tears after finishing. What would that be? Four marathons? Or way longer than that, right?
Yeah, I think it's about four. I'm not going to do math right now, though. I'm tired.
Totally valid. What else can you tell me about your experience? What are you excited about having finished it?
What am I excited about?
Yeah.
I'm so happy that's how it happens. Like, you worry, you're concerned, you don't know if you can, and then you just do it anyway, and it's so rewarding. It's hard to capture in words.
I love it. Now, if somebody was like, man, you sound like you are awesome, I want to train with you, or I want to meet you in real life, do you run like running groups or anything like that?
I do. I'm part of Fort McMurray Runners, and we have a couple of runs a week. Well, right now, because of COVID, we only have one, but it's Friday night. You can find the event in Fort McMurray Runners Facebook group.
That's awesome. And then for next year, or for your next big winter run, are you planning on bringing anyone else to run with you, or are you thinking you're going to do another solo run?
I'd like to keep up the solo thing. I also like the idea of starting like a race. But definitely I'll still continue my solo adventures, just because that's a challenge for me.
Cool. For some reason, I'm getting like White Fang vibes. Like, I'm like picturing people running, you know, like a 3-day race where you're camping and by yourself and stuff, but everybody's kind of on the same track to get somewhere quickly.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. There's lots of trails around here. Lots.
Well, I think that's all the questions I had for you today. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it. You covered it really well.
Perfect. Well, my guest this morning, once again, is Jessica Leska of She Runs North. You can check out her Facebook and Instagram, and I'm sure there's a sweet documentary coming out real soon from Shaw Spotlight that you can also check out, and Thomas Hopkins Photography that followed you the whole way, and I'm sure got some sweet shots as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today here on Fort McMurray Matters, but be sure and tune in every weekday at noon for a fresh episode of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. Chat with you tomorrow.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.